about, I guess, can't talk about methodology, should we talk about the Chafetz Gavra thing? So perhaps today we'll talk about the Chafetz Gavra stuff. I'll give a quick example of it, just to kind of, you know, break into a brief, and then we'll hopefully do it more properly in a little bit as we go through. We'll talk about the Malach of Zoraya, planting the many, many, many malachas that you now do on Shabbos. The Mishnah enumerates 39. Arbaim chaser achas, really 40 minus 1, we call that 39 malachas. The Gemara asks about the possibility that there may be a few more. Why they're not in the Mishnah is a good question. But okay, the first of them is the malach of Zoraya. It's really first on a long list of all the sidur, the pas, all the different steps it takes to make bread. Then next you have all the steps to make clothing, and then you have a couple, you know, whatever else is over there. The first one, or at least probably the first one, it's actually different in the order between the Mishnah and the Gemara, but let's just say one of the first ones. The first one is Zoraya, planting seeds. So an interesting discussion that comes up. If let's say a person plants seeds and then removes them before they root. And you plant them Friday night, let's say you remove them Shabbat day. For that night, you move them Sunday. They didn't yet root. They didn't take root yet. According to the Rashash, so that's a machlok between the Rashash and the Minchas Chinuch. The Rashash is found in Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. The Minchas Chinuch is found in Hilchos Shabbos. He goes through all the Malachas. The Eglei Tal discusses Machlokes, quotes it as well. The Rashash believes that the Isser is the creation of causing of growth of the plant, and therefore there's no Isser if you uproot them. While according to the Minchas Chinuch, there is an Isser, putting it in. What's behind this machlokas l'chora is the iser, the meiser, or the totsai? Is it iser of putting the seed in the ground? Is it the meiser planting it? Or is it creating a situation of totsai? That's really what it's discussing. Is it the meiser, is it the totsai? Often meiser totsai uses the term chefza gavra. Is it that the gavra can't do it, or the chefza can't take root? Type of thing. That's just a lamashal, just to whet your appetite. Let's go through an example, Birkas HaMapil. The Gemara Maseches Brachos on Daf Samach says that one should make a bracha before going to sleep, called the Birkas HaMapil. That's a well-known halacha. Achronim ask a kasha based upon a Tosfos and Brachos Yud Beis Amud Beis. Yud Aleph Amud Beis part. Let's just get to the Tosfos, and we'll show the Achronim's kasha based on Tosfos. Tosfos asks, why in practice do we not make a bracha on sleeping in the sukkah? We only make a bracha on eating in the sukkah, but tachas. We don't make a bracha on sleeping in the sukkah. L'chor, the mitzvah is both eating and sleeping. Why not make a bracha on both? Tosfos quotes two answers. The Rush quotes the exact same two answers as well. Tosfos quotes them, omitting who authors them anonymously. He quotes them. Well, the Rush says one is really the Rebbeinu Tam and one is the Re. I'm just going to call them the Rebbeinu Tam and the Re from here on out. That's why they're labeled, even though Tosfos doesn't label them. You have to look at the Rush on that bracha, that Gemara bracha. So again, This again, you're out of the base. So Tosfos, answer number one, the Shita Shabbeinu Tam, is that the bracha on the eating covers the sleeping. That's one shot. That you make a bracha on eating and it covers everything. The second answer, we're going to call this the Re, is because one might fall asleep and it'll end up being a bracha levatala. I imagine the concern is that one won't fall asleep immediately. Maybe, perhaps even that one won't fall asleep all night, but at least not immediately. The Rush actually, when he just brings this down, he tells a story where the Re went to Rebbeinu Tam, suggesting his answer about not falling asleep. And Rebbeinu Tam, you know, had offered his own answer. No, I think it's because the Achila covers it. Okay. Based upon the second teretz of Tosfos, that this Chashash, you might not fall asleep, Achronim asks, well, what about the Birkas HaMapil? L'chor, the same logic should apply. You should be concerned lest you might not fall asleep. There's a chance you might not fall asleep. And therefore, you should not make a Birkas HaMapil. Right? In other words, if there's a concern of not going to sleep, why is that a Birkas HaMapil we do make, but a Birkas Bracha on a Sukkah we do not make? That's the Kashi these Achronim ask. So Reb Chaim Soloveitchik thought it was such a good Kashi, he stopped making a Birkas HaMapil. Briskers don't make a HaMapil because he thinks we paskin, you see from here, we paskin like the Re. We paskin like the Re and the Rush, that it's a Chashash, you're not going to be able to fall asleep, or at least not right away or something. So Taka, you have a major, major problem, better not to make a bracha. I picked up that minhag, I'm not sure if I should stick with it, but I picked that up, I follow the briskers in this thing. Most things I don't follow the briskers unless it's like a chumrah, but here's like a chumrah that can be a pool, I don't know which way to call it. Just an interesting halachic thing. This is how I picked up. That's Reb Chaim Soloveitchik's thing that you don't make a hamapi. But others have asked this kasha and discussed it. The Gra in Or HaChaim Tav Lamed Gimel offers a second answer based upon the following discussions found in Hilchos Pesach, and here's the discussion the Rama has. The Rama, right in there in the exact same spot, Tav Lamed Gimel Sifkat Beis, Tav Lamed Beis, pardon me, Sifkat Beis, mentions, you know, discusses, quotes this, that there's a minhag to leave bread around the house, before Bedikas Chametz. This way you'll prevent the bracha lotal. You probably all heard. This is a major subject of debate. You really need it. Maybe this is a big separate discussion. Is the bracha finding the chametz? Is the bracha looking for the chametz? What is that bracha on? Fine. So the Ramah says there's a minhag to leave bread around the house, preventing it. The Gra then, without explaining his statements, makes two of them. Makes two statements. There's two comments on this. Statement number one. Comment number one says the Gra. He makes a claim that whether this is needed or not, should one obligate people? Should one be obligated in this minhag of leaving bread around? He says it's telling the machlokes between the time and the rate that the Rush quotes in the second, you know, by Sukkah. Doesn't explain why. He says it's telling that machlokes. Then he makes a separate point. The Gra continues to prove that it's unnecessary to do this because of Birchas HaMapil. Although he doesn't explain the other statement, L'char one can draw a conclusion which would explain both statements. Essentially, we follow Rabbeinu Tam, and he simply is not concerned for the subsequent mitzvahs. He isn't concerned with not falling asleep after Birchas HaSukkah, Leishei Vasukkah. Similarly, we're not concerned falling asleep with Hamapil, and we're also not concerned with finding little pieces of bread. You do find, you don't find. We're just not concerned with finding things afterwards. And all three halachas line up. And that's what the Gra meant when he says it's telling the machlokes between the time and the rate. The Rebbe holds you are concerned with the mitzvahs, many times says you're not. And therefore, whether or not this minhag is an appropriate minhag should depend upon that. And that's exactly what the Gra means as well when he says it's unnecessary because to do it from Birchas HaMapil. And we're not worried about the mitzvahs. We're not worried about the mitzvahs, and therefore, you know, we shouldn't be worried about the mitzvahs here either. That's the second suggestion as to how to answer this kasha from Tosfos. For some reason, we're not concerned with the Mitzvahs afterwards. What about Leishei Basukah? I'll have to work that out a little bit later on. The Prima Gadman, the Eshel Avram, in Reish Lamed Tesef Kut Gimel, says this bracha is similar to Hanosein Lasachvi Vina Lavchim Ven Yom Uvein Laila. That's the Prima Gadman's Teretz, and presumably it's the Berchas HaShevach, that's what it means, Berchas HaShevach Vahuda, and therefore there's no problem of being a Hefsik afterwards, there's no problem of Bracha Tala afterwards. That's probably what he has in mind over there. Now, the conceptual difference between these answers of Achronim is very, very important. According to Reb Chaim and the Gra, who both maintain the parallel for Berchas Leishei Basukah to Berchas HaMapil, while the Prima Gadim breaks that parallel. According to the Gra and according to Reb Chaim, they're all fundamentally the same. There's really no danger difference between HaMapil versus Leishei Basukah. Either they're so similar, like Reb Chaim, that you don't say one, something you don't say the other, or like the Gra. We're not concerned by one, not concerned by the other, but the point is they're very, very similar. While according to the Prima Gadim, they're fundamentally different. The Lumdus is as follows. List the first level of Lumdus is that according to Rav Chaim and the Gra, both believe that the bracha is on your sleep. The bracha is on the mice of sleep. The bracha is on the gavra for you to make the sleep. The bracha is on your sleep, not on sleep. While the Prima Gadim would argue, no, the bracha is on the cheftza of sleep. The bracha is on sleep itself. In other words, according to Rav Chaim and the Gra believe the bracha is on your sleep, while the gavra's sleep, while the Prima Gadim holds on the cheftza's sleep. Is it on the maisa of sleep or the cheftza of sleep, the totsah, the creation, the establishment, the institution of sleep? And many even suggest one step further. You can take this machlokes a little deeper, not just to get the cheftza gavra like we're looking for, but perhaps you can take it one step deeper to whether or not the bracha is a berachas hananin or a berachas hashav voda. The Chorer of Chaim and the Gra would argue to Berachas Hananel, the Prima Gadim would seem to hold it to Berachas Shach Vahoda. If anyone's interested, the Chayyadim spells this out, Lamed Hei, Sifkat and Dalit, he spells out it's a Berachas Hananel. And he adds that the Bracha was established as a Minha Golem, and therefore there's no Bracha Matala concerns. Okay, but nonetheless, what? The Chayyadim, yeah. Lamed Hei Dalit. L'may nafkamina as to the nature of Berachas Shavodah. What's the difference? I'm sorry, Berachas Shavodah versus Berachas Hananel. Who cares if it's on the Meister, the Totsah, the Gavra, the Chetzah, who cares how you understand Bresa Mafil? What's the Nafkamina? So two quick Nafkaminas, which really are one. Let me just, is there an Ifshu of Hefsek? Are the Psukim we say afterwards a Hefsek? So the Mishnah Berurah says no, because it's designed to protect you. Mishim Shmira, and therefore it's not a Hefsek. While the Elia Rabbah says, ah, there's no such problems Hefsek over here. Sometimes the Chayadim makes this claim as well. That the Elia Rabbah holds that Hefsek is not a big deal here. You don't worry about making a Hefsek. And similarly, one could ask, if one's massive, one speaks after Hamapil before going to sleep, is it a brachal of Atala? It's machlokas 2 days in Rav Yaakov Ebn Sitter. Rav Yaakov Ebn Sitter on Beis Yaakov, page 131, he quotes those who say nobody himself takes issue with that, disagrees, and says yes. And therefore, Lechora, according to Rav Yaakov Ebn, one should make another bracha. What's behind this machlokas? Lechora, it's a berch sandanin, versus berch shavodah, it's a berch sandanin. One should not be mafsik, and if you are mafsik, Lechora, you should make.
It's like any time you speak after making a bracha before you eat the food or whatever it is. However, the berach shach vodah, the bracha is not on your sleep. It's just on the institution of sleep. Okay, so you make a berach shach vodah, it's to be exactly right before you go to sleep. Now, chagav halach l'maisa, one can talk afterwards, but one should try to avoid other major activities like eating and stuff. Remember, when I was a little younger, I heard someone from Shach to the story. He said, do you speak after Hamapil? He's like, yes. He's like, why? He's like, it's Pukuach Nefesh. What? My wife would have killed me otherwise. You know, she has no patience for not talking, you know, and it's time to go to sleep, I guess. Okay. In any event, that was just... he has only good time here to make the Hamapil. Then there's a discussion of Poskim. What should you say first, Kriyat Shema or Hamapil? Because you're supposed to say both when you go to sleep. What's the correct order? So if you look at the Rambam and Hilchas Tefillah, Perek Zayin, Halacha Aleph, Halacha Beis, the Rambam seems to prioritize Hamapil. Chronologically, you should say Hamapil first. While the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch disagree and say you should say Kriyat Shema first. It's Machlokas. The Rambam versus the Torah and Shulchan Aruch. If it's not crystal clear about the Torah and Shulchan Aruch itself, really it is. So the Aruch HaShulchan the Aruch HaShulchan spells it out in Aruch HaYim. Reish Lamed Tes Kram Beis. And L'choras for Lamed, this is the exact same one. If it's a Berach Sanan, then Hamapil should go second to the Torah and Shulchan Aruch to avoid a Hefsek. The Mishnah Berurah offers the exact same svara again in Reish Lamed Tes Kam Beis. While if you hold it to Berachas Shach V'Hodah, Hamapil should go first, like the Rambam, so one doesn't fall asleep. The Knesset Sagadol explains. The Mishnah Berurah brings down the Knesset Sagadol, the exact same thing as Kam Beis. So one doesn't fall asleep in the middle of Kriyat Shema. It makes sense to say Hamapil first, so you don't fall asleep in the middle of it. The halach, the Mishnah Berurah says, really should depend upon what should you do first. It depends upon if you're a type of person who falls in the middle of Kriyat Shema and in the middle of Hamapil. You don't want to fall in the middle of Hamapil, and you make it first. But if not, you can make it second. You're okay. Next, there's a machlokas 2 days in the Meiri as to brachos daf samach as to whether or not you make a Hamapil if you sleep during the day. And lechor it's the exact same lamdus as well. The berachas hananin. If you hold it to Berach Sanenin, then yes, because the Berach is on your sleep. If it's on Berach Shach Vodah, then Lachar, you would say no, it's on sleep once a day. Again, if it's Berach Sanenin, you would make it because it's on your sleep. Berach Shach Vodah, it's on sleep all day. Lastly, and there's an interesting Shita, is a Shita's Haraivi. And Tosfos Rashi Misachas Brachas on Daf Samach Amin Aleph quotes. There's a discussion Poskim have. How could you make an Elokai Neshama? Not a terrible, but it would not be a good thing if you don't make a bracha beforehand. Bracha Hashem Hashem Kol Nivra kind of Sham, etc., etc. Brachos that don't start with the word Baruch, we try best to make them Samach L'Chaver. Then we try to make them to adjacent to another bracha. That starts with Baruch. This way, it's not a bracha that doesn't start with the word Baruch. For example, what would be a great famous example of that besides the Lokai Neshama? When they have a bracha that doesn't start with the word Baruch, we try best to like make sure you have a little bit of a shock. What? Tefillas Hadarach, that's the famous one. People who make Tefillas Hadarach should try best to have a glass of water beforehand, make a shahakol, and go right into it. So in the morning, for Elokai Neshama, we try our best to make it like right after Ashi Yatzar. Boom, Ashi Yatzar right into Elokai Neshama. This way it's a bracha samach l'chaverta. So that's some suggestion people say. You know, the Elokai Neshama goes samach l'chaverta because it's Ashi Yatzar. I remember I spoke to the Rosh Shiva one time, I said if I made the Ashi Yatzar and didn't make the Elokai Neshama right away, forgot or got distracted, I don't remember what it was. So he goes, okay, so make a Shenas Anlas Lachvim in Elokhon Yom Vein Lailai, then make a Elokhon Hashem, then go back to Shlosh Anigoy, etc., etc. Okay, fine. The Ravid offers a different suggestion. The Ravid says Elokai Neshama does start with the word Baruch. You know where? Hamapil. Since Hamapil starts with the word Baruch, it's connected to Elokai Neshama in the morning. Hamapil is on sleep. Elokai Neshama is on being awake. Unbelievable Shitas HaRavid. It's a funky Shitas HaRavid. So the conclusion to draw from the Ravid is number one is that you should not make any hefsik. And more than that, it's a bracha on your sleep. Not as a bracha on your sleep, but the bracha right afterwards is connected to it. In any event, you should not be mashing. It's a bracha on your sleep. It's not just a bracha on sleep. It's a bracha on your sleep. That's the chardas of the sheet. That's how I read. What? Yeah, I guess those are not, I don't know. He doesn't discuss, Thomas Rush doesn't spell on the right, but I guess those are not hefsekos or something like that. They're like Eretzarach or something. What would be? Well, I come to a chaim, yeah, according to the Gra, I can see, as long as you're quiet or tell your best or whatever. Correct. It's not supposed to be in the eerie, but halacha we don't. Borad is nisa to separate things on Shabbos. The Gemara and Daf. Mesachet Shabbos and Daf Ayin Dalit Amar Aleph has the case of Borer, and there's a discussion exactly what the case is. The way the Rabbeinu Hananel has his Goreis, his Gears is found in Tosis right over there, that there are two types of Ochel and you separate one from the other. While Rashi's Gear says that you separate Ochel from other types of Ochlin. He removes the word, he removes the number two, and now it's from several types of Ochlin. What's the conceptual difference? In other words, according to Menuchin Anu Lachar, there's an important conclusion to draw. And the Re, quoted by the Ritz, has this conclusion as well. It's Ochel from Psolas because the Ochel you don't want is considered Psolas. If there's two types of Ochel, nuts and raisins, you don't like the nuts, even though someone else may in fact like them, you don't like them, that's considered Psolas to you. It's objective, and therefore you can have two people eating out of the same jar, and one person's Psolas, the other person's Ochel. One person's junk is the other person's treasure. That's one person's trash. You mean expression?
No.
One person's trash is the other person's treasure. Well, it's each their own type of thing. In any event, so again, what's behind this machlokas? So according to Rabbeinu Hananel's Gir Selchor, Bora is defined by removing the psolas from the ochel, the maisa. It's that the gavra should not separate psolas from ochel. Well, according to Rashi's Girsa, at least where the Pnei Yeshua learns, although the Ritzvah disagrees, Pnei Yeshua believes that according to Rashi, Ochel mi Ochel is mutter. In addition to a possible machlok between Rashi and the Rach, this is clear machlok's 2 days in the Yerushalmi, Parag Zion. But the definition, according to the Pnei Yeshua's version of Rashi, is that Bora is defined as a tikkun l'ochel. And l'char, the Shaila is the Isser of Borer a Maisa or a Totsah? Is it a Chefter or a Gav? Is it a Maisa, i.e. a Gav, that you shouldn't be involved in separating? We're not concerned about you, we're concerned about the totsah, the result. Did separating occur? Is there an isra chepsa or not? Perhaps there's a few interesting machloks that rely upon this thing. There's an incredible sheet to the Baal Hamar who writes that a malach shen shvich legufa doesn't apply to borer. What does that mean? Malach shen shvich legufa, what's the classic case of malach shen shvich legufa? Let's say a person usually digs a hole, why? For the... What? A chofer borov etzach al afra. Usually, if you, what?
You have fire.
What about fire? Malach etzach gufa means you do the malacha, but for etzach gufa, we'll translate that right now, is not the standard use, or not the classical use, or not the use that's most prominent. Most people, when they dig a bore, they want the hole, but you want the dirt. So there's a machlok to Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon, Rav Yehuda says Chai, Rav Shimon says Pater. Pashas is according to Rav Yehuda, it's Asher Minat Torah, and according to Rav Shimon, it's Asher only Midrabanan Pater, which means Pater Avam Asher. So does Borer fall into this category? The Baal Hamar, Masechet Shabbos, Daf Kuf Vav, the Daf Arif says no. While the Ramban disagrees in his Chidush HaMishas and says, yeah, so it's by the machlokas. The Baal Hamar and the Ramban, not in the Melchamis, the Ramban in his Chidush Ramban. Bechara, how do I understand what Borer is? According to Baal Hamar, Borer is an exception to the rule, and Malach Shemzich Lagufa doesn't not apply. According to the Ramban, it does. Let's sharp that a little bit. According to the Baal, Malacha is removing the psolus, and by definition, it's Malach Shemzich Lagufa. Therefore, you cannot tell me to pile Malach Shemzich Lagufa. Every single borer in the world would be an example of Malach Shemzich Lagufa. Why? Because you're getting rid of the psolus. And therefore what? Malach Shemzich Lagufa means usually people don't get rid of the psolus. You're trying your best to... What you're doing by definition is Malach Shemzich Lagufa. Usually you want the good. Here you're taking away the bad. By definition, it's... So therefore, you should never ever be a case in the world where going to Shemi Lava Bichayev and Borer. It says the Baal Amar, there's an exception to the rule. What's the svar for the Ramban? The Ramban believes that Borer is a tikkun ha'ochel. It's the totsa, it's the chefta, it's creating a good chefta. And therefore, classic rules apply. Similarly, the Shita in Yerushalmi Parak Zayin, Mishnah Beis, where the Rav Yudin holds has like this. One isn't over Borer if he removes the tsraros from an ochel, the ochel of a huge pile. Let's say you have a lot of straw and there's a bunch of pebbles in there. So if it's a huge pile, you remove the pebbles, your putter. But if it's a small pile or in a hand or something very, very tiny, then you'd be chayv. What's the difference? Who cares? Big, little, what's the difference? Segle Tal says the Bavli argues on this Yerushalmi and defines Borer as separating. And Lachar Yerushalmi killed one of two things. Either, one can say the Bavli, I'm sorry, the Yerushalmi holds, so says Segle Tal, the Bavli argues on the Yerushalmi, and the definition of Borer is set is what? I think creating a totsah of a, some type of tweak and clean. And if you have a big, huge pile, if you took out as many rocks as you could, there are always still some left. You never got them all. You didn't solve your problem 100%. However, if it's the maisa of being borer, if the maisa is separating, if that's the Torah asserts, the lechar would apply here as well. A similar case would be, let's say, a fly falls into someone's glass. Let's say a bottle of soup, in a bowl of soup, and this fly falls in. So the Taz in Resh Yud Tes argues that it's usser unless someone... some of the drink is removed as well with the bug. If you have a little bug, you take out the bug and the drink, you're okay. However, the Bar Hakeiv quotes the Maharitz, who says it's totally mutter. And some explain it's machlokes, depending upon whether or not there's a tarovus. According to the Taz, there is a tarovus. According to the Maharitz, no. One svar is whether or not it's a tarovus. According to the Taz, it is a tarovus. You mix a bug and its drink, it all becomes one aggregate, one group, and the Maharatz would say no. Alternatively, it could be our Chakira. What's the Isser? Is the Isser separating it or creating a Tikkun Kli? In other words, you are creating a Tikkun Kli by getting a fly out of your soup, but maybe what could argue? It's not the Maisa Borer because it's so insignificant and so small and so little, so not central. One last small example. A ma'ak has a b'risa in Kedushin daf lamed dalid amud aleph lists mitzvahs that women are chayivim because they are mitzvahs. I say, shalom hazman grama. Good idea. I should stand up myself. I'm mamish like falling asleep or else. Is it hot in here? Can we get the window open? It's hot, no? There we go. You get a little bit of baby crying and a little bit of some other noise outside, but I feel like it's your what? A very loud baby, no? I feel like, you know the famous story with the Baal Tanya who was learning and the baby was crying? And he says, anyone who can cry through a baby, this baby's very mock, but I meant the Lubavitcher baby. I want to make sure once it's crying, make sure everyone has sensitivity for the baby. So the Brisa Masechta Kedushin Daf Lamed Daled Amud Aleph says that there are mitzvahs
that women are chayvin because the mitzvah to say she has man grama. Shalom has man grama, pardon me. If the mitzvah says she has man grama, women are pater. And the mitzvah says shalom has man grama, then they are chayv. And the Mishnah gives three examples, enumerates three cases. Ma'akeh, building a roof around your gag. Hashavas Haveda, returning Haveda. And Shiluach HaKein, which is building the, pardon me, sending away the bird once the mother, well, sending away a mother, either a mother away from the baby and taking its eggs, or sending away the mother to get the baby birds, etc., etc., etc. Whether you want the eggs or not is a discussion in post-kim. Whether you're chayiv always or only if you want the eggs is not going to post-kim. Tosfos in Kedushin over there on Daf Lamed Aleph and Aleph wants to know why anyone would care that women are chayiv in ma'akeh, freely, that matter, all three cases. Why? Because even if you're not obligated to put up the ma'akeh, it's a mitzvah to say, Shalom has man grama. Still, there's a lav not to put up a ma'akeh. So, what do you gain? In other words, Lamanaf Kimini, she's got to do it anyway. Okay, so Klap Ishmael, Kosh Baruch will work out who gets the kudos and who doesn't get brown, you know, the kudos up in Shemayim, points up in Shemayim, and brownie points and whatnot. So, Tosis quotes the Re in Kedushin Lamed Dalam and Aleph, who says, answers that the lav is building the house with intention not to erect a ma'akeh. If one built a house with plans to put the ma'akeh and the last minute changes his mind and didn't, maybe he did and it fell, one didn't violate the lav, but the asse would obligate a person to build a new ma'akeh and therefore it's shaykh to women. Right? One's on the building of the house and one's even afterwards. Tosha then quotes the Yesh Mepharshim to say that the Aseh is parallel to the Lav. They're mamish, the exact same. But halachically, is no Naftik Amina. Yet it's needed to dispel an additional Lav Amina. Now just like we're part of the Aseh, he says, well, part of the Lot Aseh, you would have thought Ma'akan and the Mitzvah Aseh and the Lav are so connected that if you're part of one, you're part of the other. Gamash Milan, no. Hang on, Lechora is an interesting conclusion to draw. According to both days of Tosfos, the mitzvah l'chora is a mitzvah of the totsah, is a mitzvah of the chetz, that the house should have it. While according to, what about the mitzvah saseh of building it? L'chora, that's a machlokis. Is that also a totsah? Is that a ma'aseh? That's a machlokis over there. Interestingly, the minchas chinuch and mitzvah tough kuf anum mem vav, tough kuf mem vav, has the following third approach. He explains that the lav, so if it starts with nafka mina to the previous shaila, let me take a step back, would be can you hire a guy? If the mitzvah's asay is only on the totsa'a of having it, not the building of it itself, so how you can hire a guy? And if a guy would build it, you'd even make a bracha, because the mitzvah is to have it up. But if the mitzvah is to build it yourself, then perhaps no. So the Minchas Chinuch again offers, he says that the lav would allow for hiring a guy, Chershat V'katan. The Aseh teaches that either he himself or a shliach should have to build it. The Machan Ephraim disagrees and says, a guy, you can build it as well. That's a machlok. Is it a mitzvah on the chef to the gav, or is it a mitzvah on the guy to do it? Or is it the option to have it done? The Machan Ephraim and Hilchah Shluchim halachah yalav. So if a chef of the katan, or if that matter, a guy would build it, the Machan Ephraim would say, yes, I can make a bracha. The Machan Ephraim would say, no. And that machlok is our shayla. Is it on the gav or on the chef? We're going to stop here for today.